This is Brian Cambria with this news for the KVNF listening area, Monday, July 2nd, 2012. Local fire teams have been responding to several fires within the Montrose Interagency Fire Management Unit during the past few days. Fire crews have been aggressive in responding to these fires and have thus far been successful at keeping them small. As a reminder, Stage 2 fire restrictions are currently in place on most public and private lands. After 2 days of successful burnout operations on the northern perimeter of the Weber Fire near Mancos, operations were effectively completed on Saturday. Yesterday, fire crews worked to remove remaining heavy fuels of concern to fire officials. As of last night, the fire was at more than 10,000 acres and 75% contained, burning across Bureau of Land Management, state, and private land. Firefighters will continue to mop up and patrol the fire perimeter for the next couple of days. As of Saturday, the Leitner Fire, burning west of Durango, was at about 90 acres and 75% contained, with full containment expected last night. The Escarpment Fire is still burning about 50 acres on Ute Mountain Ute lands near Mesa Verde. Crews are working on containment and mop-up. The Pine Ridge Fire near Grand Junction is over 13,000 acres and 35% contained. Firefighters are working to secure the fire perimeter using the Colorado River as one part of the line. Various resources are being brought to bear, including using the railroad to bring in water. The Little Sand Fire near Pagosa Springs continues to burn, now at over 24,000 acres and 35% contained. A brush fire east of Silt closed I-70 for a while on Saturday. Both the High Park and Flagstaff fires on the Front Range are nearly completely contained. The Waldo Canyon Fire continues to burn in areas near Colorado Springs. As of Sunday evening, the blaze was 55% contained, but burned nearly 18,000 acres, including almost 350 homes in the city, with two fatalities. Late last week, KRCC's Andrea Chalfin donned flame-resistant clothing and a hard hat to join a media group allowed to visit burned areas of the Pike National Forest. She has this collection of sound and images from the journey.
I'm standing just inside the Pike National Forest in the Cedar Heights neighborhood of Colorado Springs. Ash covers the ground. Trees, shrubs are burned. But there's still life, and a few raindrops can be felt falling from the sky. And it's quiet. There are some pine trees with needles still on them, others barely any, and black and charred.
Typically a fire will burn in a mosaic pattern. There'll be areas, well, just like up here behind us, there's still grass standing. It didn't burn. It just varies the way the fire burns. On the hillside up there as well, there's places where it's still green, and the fire didn't burn up everything.
That's Greg Hewley, spokesman for the Waldo Canyon Fire.
And that's what we expect all over the entire fire. There's going to be areas where it's completely moonscaped. There's no question about that. And that's going to be a concern on the hillsides, but there's other areas that are still green.
Firefighter Tom Stevens is here from Sequoia and Kings Canyon National Parks in California. He walks down the slope, a pack on his back containing water, a radio, and a variety of other gear.
Copy that. Break. AFEO 51, Engineer 51.
He's sweaty, sooty, and carrying a tool that's a cross between an axe and a shovel.
I've been asked to go find the smokes that are further up on the hill away from us.
How long have you been out here?
Day one. And excuse me, folks.
That's rain falling. Not heavy, not steady, and not long, but some. Public Information Officer John Nichols says it doesn't necessarily have the effect people want.
It's okay for people to feel relief, but people still need to understand that just because they're not seeing smoke, and just because like in the last couple of minutes we felt a few raindrops, now we're feeling something different, the winds. So those few raindrops that hit up on the hill here, with this wind, the positive effect of those raindrops is going to be negated by the wind within an hour.
Greg Hewley says crews were continuing to monitor the area.
The trees that are turned from green to more like a brown or a reddish color, that's more fuel. Of particular concern is a gamble oak. We wind up with a gamble oak and the fire goes out underneath it, burns some of the leaves below. but then the heat goes ahead and kills the leaves up above and dries them out, and then they're available fuel for the fire to come back through. So if you have a continuous stand of that gamble oak that still have the leaves on it and is burned out below, it's a severe hazard for our firefighters.
And how much are you monitoring this particular area, for example? Like when there is this, you know what, I'd probably say mostly burned area, but still the greenery, like you're saying, how much do you monitor an area like this?
They continue to monitor it until they feel comfortable that there's no longer any heat in the area.
And they're monitoring it now?
Oh yeah, that's what those crews were doing that were coming through here.
Nearby residents of the Cedar Heights community were among the first to evacuate because of the Waldo Canyon fire. Over the weekend, they were allowed back into their homes under a pre-evacuation notice. The city says Mayor Steve Bach and senior city officials were not aware of Friday's authorized media visit to the forest, and none have been held since. Evacuation numbers peaked on Wednesday with around 32,000 displaced residents of El Paso and Teller counties. Now that number is around 3,000. The cost of fighting the blaze has exceeded $11 million. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio, I'm Andrea Chalfin in Colorado Springs.
I had occasion to drive to and from northern Utah over the weekend. Fires were evident the entire trip up through Green River and Price and over Soldier Summit Saturday and up by Heber City Saturday evening. The Seeley Fire near Huntington is at 23,000 acres and 10% contained, burning on what is known as the Manti Top and within the coal mining country of Utah. It's south of Soldier Summit and visible for many, many miles. The Church Camp Fire has burned through 6,000 acres in the high country along Highway 191 between Price and Duchesne, including Argyle Canyon, and is 55% contained. The Wood Hollow Fire north of Mount Pleasant, Utah, over the Manti Top from the Seeley Fire, has killed one civilian and burned 160 structures, including 52 homes. This fire is at 47,000 acres and 80% contained, with full containment expected in the next few days. And while the High Park Fire near Fort Collins was the largest active fire in Colorado at 88,000 acres, Utah's largest fire is the Clay Springs Fire, east of Delta, Utah, at the edge between the Great Basin and the Wasatch Plateau. That fire is at 100,000 acres and 40% contained, burning in timber, grass, pinyon, and juniper. And unfortunately, an air tanker crashed on a fire in the southwest corner of South Dakota yesterday, killing the aircraft crew. This was on the 4,200-acre White Draw Fire south of Rapid City. And it seems Wyoming, too, is experiencing very active fire situations right now as well. On Friday, President Obama granted Governor John Hickenlooper's request and declared a major disaster exists in the state of Colorado. That makes federal funding available, particularly for El Paso and Larimer counties impacted by the Waldo Canyon and High Park fires, respectively. The major disaster declaration will bring additional federal assistance to Colorado to provide resources for crisis counseling and disaster unemployment assistance, public assistance for emergency work, and a hazard mitigation grant program. It also includes support to homeowners and low-income renters forced from their homes due to the High Park and Waldo Canyon fires. On Friday, the Forest Service mobilized the remaining four Department of Defense C-130s equipped with modular airborne firefighting systems. The air tankers were available over the weekend to assist with wildfire suppression efforts in Colorado and elsewhere. They will be based at Peterson Air Force Base in Colorado Springs, along with the four similar aircraft that have already been mobilized. They are in addition to thousands of personnel, hundreds of engines and helicopters fighting wildfires around the U.S. Energy Fuels just completed its acquisition of Denison Mine's U.S. operations at a price of around $100 million. The Telluride Daily Planet reports that the Canadian company, which plans to open a uranium mill in the Paradox Valley, first announced the acquisition in April. According to Energy Fuels, the deal was to be completed Saturday. Curtis Moore of Energy Fuels said the acquisition makes the company the largest producer of uranium and vanadium in the United States. But in the short term, he said it will have little effect on the planned Pinyon Ridge Mill. KVNF reported on the acquisition, which will give Energy Fuels the White Mesa Mill in Blanding, Utah, and four or five operating mines in the region. Moore told The Planet that means the company now has a mill to process ore without having to wait for Pinyon Ridge to be built. But, he said, quote, Pinyon Ridge still makes sense as a standalone project, and it is going to be built once we find a strategic partner to build it. Denison Mine's White Mesa Mill is the only operating conventional uranium mill in the county, in the country, I believe that is. Moore also told The Planet that the company has been working to raise money to continue its permitting and mining operations and has raised around $30 million during the past few weeks. Energy Fuels state permit for Pinyon Ridge Project was recently thrown out and is now pending a court-ordered public hearing period. Last week, Governor John Hickenlooper sent a letter to Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack seeking assistance for Colorado counties affected by drought, low snowpack, excessive heat, and high winds this year. Typically, counties have to meet certain crop loss criteria to qualify for USDA disaster assistance. Once that criteria is met, the governor makes a request. This year, because of severe drought conditions in Weld County and across the state, the Colorado Department of Agriculture has been working with the local USDA Farm Service Agency office to seek disaster designation before each county shows the minimum crop loss. Hickenlooper also sent a letter to Vilsack requesting freeze disaster designations for Mesa and Montrose counties due to damaged fruit production from early April freezes. And on Friday, Governor John Hickenlooper announced the appointment of Stephanie Dunn to the Colorado Court of Appeals. Dunn will fill a vacancy created by the retirement of the Honorable Arthur P. Roy. Dunn is currently a partner at Perkins Coy LLP in Denver, where she practices extensively in business and appellate litigation, as well as white-collar government investigations. Her appointment will become effective in late November. Bear activity in Ouray County has increased significantly during the last 2 weeks, and Colorado Parks and Wildlife officials are urging residents to take precautions to help avoid conflicts. The Telluride Watch reports that the hot, dry weather is forcing bears to riparian areas, especially the Uncompahgre River. Because the waterway is close to towns, bears can move easily towards unnatural food sources. Even in these dry conditions, bears will find food in the wild. But bears will go first to easy sources of food at homes or businesses. Wildlife officials offered the following tips to help avoid conflicts with bears. Keep garbage in well-secured locations and only put garbage out in the morning of pickup. Don't leave pet food or stock feed outside. Take down bird feeders during summer and fall. Place compost in a secure enclosure. Allow grills to burn for a couple of minutes after cooking to burn off grease and to eliminate odors. Clean the grill after each use. If you have fruit trees, pick fruit before it gets too ripe. Don't allow fruit to rot on the ground. For more information, visit the Colorado Parks and Wildlife website. This concludes your morning newscast. For KVNF News, I'm Brian Cambria.